He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
Our gospel passage this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord. Would you pray with me this morning before we begin? Open our hearts, O Lord, and enlighten our minds by the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may seek what is well-pleasing to your will, and so order our doings after your commandments, that we may be found fit to enter into everlasting joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So in this passage, I think if I counted correctly, the word abide appears 11 different times, which is an odd thing. At least I think it is for me, because I don't know about you all, but I don't really use the word abide in everyday English. I mean, really the only times that I can think other than this passage when we say the word abide is, you know, if you're going somewhere and you say, I will abide by the rules, you know, or I will abide by the laws given. And the only other time I can think of it is another form of it when I say, like, welcome to my humble abode, you know, when I have friends come over or something like that. But other than those two times, I can't really think of many times. It's not a common word that we tend to use. But so in our context, you know, I think most of us have been in the church long enough to understand that, you know, when Jesus says, I abide in you and you abide in me, that the context here means to dwell in or to live in. We are to live in Christ as Christ lives in us. And this is why we see the image of the vine and the branches, as the branches can't exist apart from the vine. You know, the branches cannot produce the fruit that they are cultivated to produce without being attached to the vine. One has to abide with the other for it to bear fruit. Yeah, and I think most of us, maybe not all of us, but I think at least most of us, have heard numerous sermons on abiding. This is one of those passages that I remember growing up that we heard pretty frequently. It was a pretty common passage that was preached on. You know it and I know it and we know it, that we are to live in Christ and Christ is to live in us. But this, of course, you know, as I've been thinking about this and reading this passage and praying about it, one of the questions that, at least in my mind, that keeps popping up is, well, what does it mean to abide in Christ? What does it mean to actually live in Christ? Because maybe it's just me, and maybe I'm a critic, and maybe I'm too harsh, but I think there's a lot of people that say that they abide in Christ, and other than their words, we would never know that that was a factual statement. And so it's made me wonder, you know, what does it mean to abide in Christ? What does that look like? And one thing I think is helpful, you know, is the word abide in today's common language, you know, the only time we really use the word abide is when we're talking about rules or laws. You know, when you get a license, I will abide by the rules of the road. Or when you go into an event, I will abide by the rules posted. You know, I really think thinking of abide in that term can help us in what it means to abide, live in Christ. And so I think I see this usage of abiding in Christ, or this one usage of abiding in Christ can help us with the biblical usage of abiding in Christ, because I think they both go together. I think that by following something, we can better live in and with Christ. And so I think most of you know Jeff Barker. You know, he was the pastor here, 15, 16, 17 years ago, however long ago it was. He was a professor at ENC. He was a chaplain at ENC for a while. And he's now the pastor of the Resurrection Church in Manhattan. And so in college, it was Jeff Barker that introduced me and a number of other students to this idea of what is known as a rule of life. You know, and when I first heard that, I kind of groaned, because it's like, I don't really like rules. I don't always do the best with following rules. This may shock you all, but as a teenager, I was slightly a rebel. I know, shocking just by the looks of me. But so he brought up this idea of rules of life, which again, just sounded terrible. But then he discussed how they are documents that we can craft and create that help us live into a rhythm. You know, a number of people prefer to go by that, a rhythm of life compared to rules of life. And part of that is because I know the term rule can come across as legalistic, or do this and don't do this. You have to do this and you can't do that. But over the last several years, I've discovered that it doesn't have to mean that. It doesn't have to mean that legalistic view, but that having something to abide by has helped me to abide in Christ. And so these things, rules of life, they've been around for centuries and centuries. I know the main one is what is called Saint Benedict's rule. You know, and it's kind of the one that all other rules are based off of. But there may have been ones before that. I'm not positive. But so we know there are at least back into like the 600s or whenever he lived. And so it is the most famous of all rules. And if you've not read it, I recommend it. It's a great read. It's not a very hard read. Well, I say that. It's not a long read. Some of it's kind of boring, but it's still a good read. And so Saint Benedict, he set it up the way he did. And so, well, I should probably go into a little history of that. So Saint Benedict was, you know, he was a Christian that lived long ago, and he ended up setting up a monastery for others to come in and for others to live, and to specifically live in a way that would be glorifying to Christ, that would help them live out prayer, and that would help them to follow their vocation of living in Christ. And so Saint Benedict set up this rule that he had his monks, or those that followed after him, he set up a rule that they would live by, that it would shape their life, that it would give them a rhythm to their day. It would give a rhythm to their weeks and to their months, to their years, and to their entire lives. And so the way that he set it up, he did it in a way that it was not to be controlling of the monks. It wasn't for him to have this power over the lives of these that followed after him. But rather, it was set up as a way to help those who followed him and who longed to follow Christ better, it helped, or he set it up to help them live out their lives to the fullest in a life of prayer, in a life of work, in a life that would honor God through their monasticism. And so Jeff had his students create a personal rule of life. It wasn't nearly as long as St. Benedict's. St. Benedict's rule, I think, is 90-some-odd chapters. They're not long chapters. They're like a paragraph is a chapter, according to them. But, you know, so nothing too long, but it was... So he had us make our personal rule of life, which in college, I remember mine fit on a sheet of paper. You know, it was just kind of the bare basics of this is how I want my life to kind of reflect and what I want my life to go towards. And so he had us create one that we would be able to use throughout our college experience. And the thing, you know, he really stressed to us while we were working on these that they're not to be binding, and they're not to be, you know, vampiric. They're not to suck out our lives and to, you know, to just drag. But instead that they are to be, they're to be freeing, and they're to be life-giving. That they were to help us live out who we were called to be and who we wanted to be. And sometimes it varied. I know for me personally, sometimes my rule of life became too strict and it was impossible for me to live up to. Or life situation changed where I couldn't do it exactly how I wanted to. And so they were able to be flexible and to change. But they helped us to live out what we were called to. By abiding by these rules of life, it helped me to abide in Christ, especially during my college in seminary years, and even when I moved here, I redid my rule of life, and I've tried to follow it since. It's been a while. It's been probably almost a year and a half. So I should probably at some point sit down and revamp what my rule of life looks like to kind of adjust and fit more of where I am currently. But it's to help us to live into who we want to be and to live into the reality that Christ is calling us to. And so I did not realize until after I read Saint Benedict's rule and after I'd started formulating my own rule of life in college, just how freeing it was. You know, in fact, again, I was a rebel in high school. You know, I had a lot more piercings then than I do now, and I was called to the principal's office, at least in my ninth grade year, more times than I would care to admit, probably more times than my parents remember. But so as one that was kind of a rebel growing up, I was shocked after reading Saint Benedict's rule and after creating my own and trying to abide by these set standards so that I could better abide in Christ, just how much I really liked it and how much I was influenced by it. In fact, one of the necklaces I wear is a medallion or a medal of Saint Benedict because of how influential he has been. You know, one of the main themes of his rule that I have really taken on and I really, really appreciate is the theme or the motto was ora et labora, prayer and work. That was what their lives were centered around, was praying and working. That they would glorify God in their prayers and then they would glorify God in their work. That it was both this love of God and love of neighbor. And so abiding in a rule has helped me to better abide in Christ. To intentionally take care of myself so that I am as connected to the vine as I can be. Which I think is a good thing for us to take time to reflect on, because whether or not we have an official, stated, written down rule of life, I think most of us have rhythms that we live into. We have daily routines that we live into. And that those routines shape us. And so the question that comes with, you know, thinking about rules of life are always, are we intentional about what we are having to shape us? You know, I even think there was a while that I was using a certain prayer book at certain times throughout the day. And I was reflecting on that earlier today, that it's been a while since I've used that, and just the stark contrast in the way that I've viewed things, and how much praying that way had shaped me, and realizing I need to return to that if I want to continue to be shaped in that manner. And so my suggestion to us is that I think each of us, over time, we need to take time to think about, what is it that is shaping us? What is it that is helping us to abide in Christ? Because it doesn't come without work. It doesn't come without us being intentional about wanting to be near Christ and wanting to continue to be a part of that branch, to continue to receive that grace and that love, and to be a part of that flow. And so over the next however long, you know, after we leave this place, I invite you all to think about, what are the rules in your life? What are the rhythms in your life? What are the things that you are doing that are helping you to grow closer to Christ? And what are those things that may need to be like the bad branches? What are those things that need to be removed so that the vine in your branch can flourish as much as need be? And if anybody would like, there's a document that I know of that is actually called Growing a Rule of Life, and it's based off of this passage where it talks about, what are they called? Those little fences that people have in gardens that vines grow on. Yes, those, thank you. It uses that model of helping us grow by having certain things that help us grow. And so if anybody would like, I can email that document. It greatly helped me when I was making a rule of life. And it helps to sit down and think about, what are the things that we're actually doing day in and day out? And what are the things that we should be doing day in and day out? Because I truly believe that having a rule of life or a rhythm of life helps us to stay connected to God, to others, and even to our own selves, and realizing who we are and where we're at and where we long to be and how to get there. And normally these rules of life, they encompass many different aspects. Aspects of prayer, scripture reading, gathering together in fellowship, but they also include other things that help us stay connected to God and neighbors. I'll just mention one of my things that I've had on since seminary, is one of the aspects of my rule of life that I have is to watch a new movie or a new TV show that I've not yet seen before at least once a week. Which is one of those things, it sounds kind of silly. That's not really a spiritual practice. But it's a way for me to be able to connect with other people. As most of my friends are pretty big movie buffs. They all love going and seeing movies. They love talking about movies. You know, it just gives that little bit of more connectiveness of, oh, I've recently watched this movie. Have you seen it? And being able to interact with my friends in that way. You know, and so different rules have different things like that. One of my friends in her rule, part of it says to go to the park once or twice a week, because she knows that is a life-giving experience for her. And so I invite you to take time over this next week or however many weeks and sit with the idea of a rule of life and see how it might be able to help you abide in Christ. How following a structure for our lives may help us to follow Christ better. I also invite you to take time to reflect on how a rule of life can help us as a church. Because I truly believe that the more that each of us abide in Christ, the more we as a collective body abide in Christ. And the more that we as a collective body abide in Christ, the more we will radiate Christ's love and his glory. And I think that's attractive to people. For people to see the love of Christ abiding in us as we abide in Christ. It causes people to say, what is different about your life? Would you pray with me this morning as we close the sermon? This is a prayer that comes from Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict prayed this, and I ask that we lift it up in prayer as well. O Lord, I place myself in your hands and dedicate myself to you. I pledge myself to do your will in all things, to love the Lord God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, not to kill, not to steal, not to covet, not to bear false witness, to honor all persons, not to do to another what I would not wish to be done to myself, to chastise the body, not to seek after pleasures, to love fasting, to relieve the poor, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, to bury the dead, to help in times of trouble, to console the sorrowing, to hold myself aloof from the worldly ways, to prefer nothing to the love of Christ, not to give way to anger, not to foster a desire for revenge, not to entertain deceit in the heart, not to make a false peace, not to forsake charity, not to swear lest I swear falsely, to speak truth with heart and with tongue, not to return evil for evil, to do injury, yea, even to bear patiently any injury done to me, to love my enemies, not to curse those who curse me, but rather bless them, to bear persecution for justice's sake, not to be proud, not to be an overeater, not to be lazy, not to be slothful, not to be a murmured, not to be a detractor, to put my trust in God, to refer the good I see in myself to God, to refer any evil in myself to myself, to desire eternal life with spiritual longing, to keep death before my eyes daily, to keep constant watch over my actions, to remember that God sees me everywhere I am, to call upon Christ for defense against evil thoughts that arise in my heart, to guard my tongue against wicked speech, to avoid much speaking, to avoid idle talk, to read only what is good to read, to look at only what is good to see, to pray often, to ask forgiveness daily for my sins, and to seek ways to amend my life, to obey my superiors in all things rightful, not to desire to be thought holy, but to truly be holy, to fulfill the commandments of God by good works, to hate no one, not to be jealous or envious of anyone, not to love strife, not to love pride, to honor the aged, to pray for my enemies, to make peace after a quarrel before the setting of the sun, never to despair of your mercy, O God of mercy. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.